Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, let's continue our teaching on the force of faith. Today, I want to continue by reading from the book of Romans chapter 12. From verse 3, Paul said, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace," please notice the word grace, "given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." We read the scripture, then we're talking about creating the opportunity for prosperity, and then we're emphasizing on the fact that each person has a gift with which he is supposed to bless other people. Now, but what I want to read from me today is that statement concerning the measure of faith. He said, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Now, you know, we have been talking about the matter of the force of faith, and we have already established many issues in that regard. Don't forget what we said. We said faith is a force, and that faith must have an expectation. And that nobody is a complete believer if he does not have an expectation for his faith. That what God has done is to write his plan in the heavens. And this God loves to bless people. He said, "I know the thoughts I have towards you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil." I discovered that actually what we call the word of God is actually the thoughts of God. Now, it's funny, but spiritual things are like that. As far as God is concerned, when he has thought about something, then there is a word concerning it. Are you getting my point? Now, the thoughts of God is what we call the will of the word of God. Please, we must get that point clear. The thoughts of God is the will of God. These are the plans of God. Now, I want you to understand something here. God cooperates with people, or more like people cooperate with God to bring forth results onto the earth. God has these thoughts. They are recorded in heaven. But for them to come down to the earth, he needs people of faith. Without faith, we cannot draw blessing down to the earth. Faith is not just about getting our needs met. In fact, faith is not at all about getting our needs met. Exercising great faith is so that we can get blessing so abundant that everybody will get a portion of it. Are you getting my point? Where we've been discussing the matter of Abraham, and I established the fact that God built up the faith of Abraham to a level in which Abraham was able, do you get the point, to develop faith so great that the person of Jesus was brought to the earth because of him. It's interesting for us to understand. When Abraham gave up Isaac, what he did was to negotiate with God in effect, and they had an agreement. And as part of that agreement, God gave his only begotten son. Because when Abraham gave his only begotten son, it was almost as if he was fulfilling his part of the bargain, all right, that he had, that was initiated by God, and he had fulfilled it. And then God not fulfilled his own in bringing forth Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to understand here is this. God knew that had to happen. And God was the one that built up the faith of Abraham to that level. What am I explaining? That faith is needed even till today. If great things are going to occur, not just in our individual lives, but in the communities around us. If our nation is going to experience change, it will be because in a particular area, somebody held on to the word or the will or the thought or the plan of God recorded in heaven. And once he did that, then he discovered that God responded to him, all right, with power. I said something earlier, that when a thought is in the heart of God, it's the fullness of it that is expressed in "Let there be light," or words like that. And I said that, you see, that God is doing things till today in the lives of people. And what I want to introduce to you again is for you to understand that you are cooperating with God so as to bring another "let there be" onto the earth. And this time around, it is you and I that sit with the thoughts of God. We incubate the things of God, and it spills out of our mouth as confident declarations that light will be And then God gives us the wisdom to bring forth light. Are you getting my point? Now listen, the problem with people is that they think things can only be done the way it's been done. So if Nigeria will have constant power supply, it has to be done the way America does its own. It's not always like that. God can give new understanding and new wisdom to people who will bring forth something that even Americans will come and copy. I hope somebody out there is saying an amen to that. Because there are different areas of life. In healthcare, there are things that Americans need to copy. And they have to copy from certain places. I'll give you as a practical example. The most expensive healthcare system in the world is the American system. It is so expensive that it's ridiculous. They need to copy something from somewhere. There has to be wisdom from somebody, all right, that can be copied. I'm explaining that there are different spheres of life. There are different aspects. And what God is doing, listen to this, is to stir up faith in your heart. That's why you are listening to me tonight. Is to stir faith in my heart so that we reach into the area that He has given us command over. That, remember I said something last time, that the higher the level of faith you are able to build, the greater the work you are able to birth on the earth to bless people. That we studied from Isaiah chapter 49, that He said, this is the call of God for your life and my life, that we will help people inherit the desolate heritages. And that's just the way God has done it. We are going to help people inherit. The plan of God is for us to use our faith, not to get food to eat. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added. But what do we do with our faith? We download great things from heaven. So that through Abraham, like the Bible says, the nations of the earth will be blessed. I hope you are getting the point I'm making there. Now, why did I read this portion of the scriptures? Because He said that God has allotted to each one a measure of faith. We've been talking about the issue of the ability to believe. And today I want to introduce again that subject of this inherent ability to believe. There is something I wanted to say last time, but I omitted to say, concerning the life of Abraham. If you read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, there's a chapter there I talk about the force of desire. What exactly are you reaching out for in life? And if you've been listening to me in previous times, there is something I call the power of resonance. That is something that makes great power available. That is, God has a plan. Listen to this. I said God has a word in heaven. He has a recorded plan. The thoughts of man, once they merge, align with the plan of God, what you discover is what I call the power of resonance. Suddenly God rushes His power into the life of that person, that this is the person who wants to do what I want to do. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? This is the person who wants to do what I want to do. That is, last time I gave an example about housing. So I want to give housing. I want Nigerians to own their own homes. And not all, most of them, majority of them being tenants. That there are countries in which majority of the citizens own their own homes. That why can't it be like that here? Do you get my point? And God said, that's what I want to do. And the young man starts thinking like that. And God says, fine. He's thinking like I'm thinking. Therefore, I'm going to rush much power towards him. And let me just quickly prove something to you. That this God actually is on an active search for such people every day. If you read from 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9, it said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. What I'm going to say here is this. God actually every day searches out looking for somebody who wants to do what He wants to do, whose heart is in the situation where God's heart also is. That is, God wants to release something into the life of somebody. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. And if God finds such a person, then as a matter of fact, He releases great power. He begins to give the person thoughts and ideas and visions. He begins to give the person something to do. You know, ideas come to the person's mind. Please don't forget what I said. We read from Romans chapter 12. What's happening is that God now gives to the person a measure of faith. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, when we talk about measure of faith, get the point. I said the problem we have with Christianity is that many people, they are just copying somebody else's actions and they think they are walking by faith. Kenneth Hagin will say that he lived from the time he got up from the sick bed at the age of 16 or 17 till they died at the age of 88 thereabouts. He never took one tablet. Are you getting what I'm saying? That every time he was sick, he prayed and God always healed him. Now, was that faith? Yes, most certainly it was. That's a great feat of faith. Many people copy it. They don't even understand how he did it. All they know is that Kenneth Hagin didn't take medicine. And he lived to be 88. So I'm not going to take medicine. That's no guarantee that you live to be. You can die at 18 for not taking medicine. You can't. Do you get what I'm saying? Because he got himself to a level Do you follow what I mean? And he was persuaded about what he was doing. You must understand that there's what the Bible calls full persuasion, in which somebody understands something to a level, he's not in doubt concerning what he's doing. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. He's not in doubt concerning what he's doing. He understands it to a level. Now, I'm bringing out an issue here. That God said this, Romans chapter 12, Paul was explaining here, that God has given to each person a measure of faith. And he now said this. He said, just as there are many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is this. No, he now said in verse 6, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, I'm bringing out something. Each person has a gift. Paul said, let us exercise them accordingly. You see that this is life. Then, like in the country like ours, as an example, I've been saying something earlier, that God has committed to each person a responsibility to birth, do you follow? Birth a blessing into the lives of people. I'm explaining that there is an inherent ability that God gives to each person to face a particular area. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that is, God gives each person a responsibility to face a particular area, and he gives him a gift accordingly. I gave an example of housing last time. For example, I as a person, I probably don't dream such dreams. Are you getting my point? And I cannot be so fully persuaded, therefore, concerning the matter, that I'll probably sell all that I have so as to bring that dream to pass. Because for me, it is not a real dream. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. That is, God didn't give me the ability to conceive building, to conceive cement and wood and iron rod and stuff like that. What I do more is to teach people. I have great ideas that I'm persuaded about on how to communicate the truth of God for the whole of the earth to hear. Are you getting my point? For the whole of the earth to understand. That if people tell me that it cannot be done, I say it can be. In fact, whether it can be done or not is not the issue. I will do it, so decide whether it can be done after I've done it. Are you getting what I'm saying? We're talking about God helping people to believe. Because the Bible says that God deals to each person a measure of faith. That measure of faith is what I want you to understand. Is actually in accordance with the calling that he has given each person. Are you getting me? Listen, I'm trying to focus our faith, because I said something, that our faith is meant to be used to bring forth results onto the earth. One of the reasons why people are never of great faith is that they have diluted their effort so much, they don't even know exactly what they want to do in life. One of the worst things you can do for yourself in life, in the matter of productivity, all right, is to be trying everything that seems to make money. The most frustrated people you come across are those who do everything because it appears to make money. A friend of mine had some financial challenges some time ago. He had tried this business, it didn't work. Tried this one, it didn't work. And he got himself into a particular situation that was very bad. He told me that along the line, one day somebody was speaking with him, and the guy was looking so well, that the guy was doing quite well. And he asked the man, what do you do? And the man told him the kind of simple business actually that he was doing. And he made a statement to me. He said, if it was before, I would say this man should come and teach me so I can do it also. He said, but now I have realized that it's not like that. Do you get the point I'm making? I'm explaining something here. If you go and read, for God of time, we won't open there to read. That's Psalm 139. David was explaining, was a prophetic word. He said, thou didst form my inward parts. I will give thanks to thee because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, he said, thou didst form my inward parts. What does that mean? That God has crafted my inside. He said, I will give thanks to thee for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. It means that when we say fearfully and wonderfully made, it does not mean I'm beautiful in the eyes of everybody. It means I've been perfectly formed for the purpose for which God planned that I should fulfill. Because if you read further down, it said, all the days of my life, before there was yet any one of them, they were all written in thy books, O God. Are you getting the point I'm making? So what was Paul explaining to us here? That each person has a measure of faith. And when we say measure of faith, I should explain it. It means something you can do confidently. That word faith there is referring to confidence. Do you follow the point I'm making? Something that you can do without doubt in your heart. Now, if you want great faith developed in that area, he said, exercise them accordingly. I'm reading from the New American Standard. That is, God gives each person a measure of faith. If our faith is meant to be used to bring great things onto the earth, then what we do is to exercise them in the area that God already by nature, that God put inside you as a matter of birth,
This one you can do. There are people that are good with business. They can buy, they can sell. There are those who can't do it because they see somebody is making money, they want to start it, then they enter into debt, they start owing money. One day a friend of mine came to me, he said, let us buy a car. I said, a Lexus. I said, for what? Do you want to drive Lexus? He said, no, we're not planning to drive it. We will sell it. He said, there's a Lexus going up for very cheap. Let us go and buy it, and then we will sell it and make money from it. I said, car. Buying and selling car. I said, oh boy, I only know how to buy and drive them. If it is buying and selling, come, let me show somebody who knows how to buy and sell. I pointed to somebody else. I said, go and meet that guy. He knows how to buy and sell cars. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said, he's gifted in it. I can't. If I buy a car, I'm planning to drive it. As for buying and selling, I said, I know the answer. I'm not ready to drive a Lexus. I don't feel, this was a few years ago. I said, I can't be driving a Lexus now, no matter how cheap it is. If you give it to me, I can't drive it. I said, so please go and meet that man. He likes to do that. These are the kind of things that people do and get into trouble. The only thing that will bring me into it is covetousness. And I say, I'm not interested. I'm going to explain something. I am not willing to exercise myself in that in which I have no faith. Now, somebody else can buy that same car and double his money in two months. And they will now come and say, but Banky, we told you that day. I still won't have any regrets. Because I didn't have the faith to step into that business. And because of that, grace would not have been made available towards me. I would have bought the car and would have knocked engine 2 days later. I would have used double the amount of money I spent buying it, repairing the engine. At the end of the day, somebody will price it at lower than I bought it. And out of desperation, I will sell it. And I would have accumulated debt. I would have lost money. Why? Not because the business doesn't work, but because I didn't have any iota of faith at the beginning. And if you don't have faith, stop trying to pretend. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I have read around a lot. And I found out that most businessmen who succeed very well, they said something. I can quote quickly a few for you. And all of them will tell you something. They don't depend on reports by experts. That they walk to this place of the business and look. And inside them, it's either there or it's not there. Donald Trump will tell you that one day somebody brought a business that was worth about $40 million. And he woke up in the morning, he felt bad about it, called the man and said, forget it. And the man said, you are missing. He said, let me miss. The business ran everybody else into debt. If a business comes up, he walks up there and looks by himself. He looks at the grounds and he's a real estate developer. He looks at it, just looks around. What I'm trying to explain to you is what the Bible calls a measure of faith. Do you follow my point? And inside him, he says, this is good. If he says it's bad, he's walking away. Forgetti was an oil man. He used to do oil prospecting and all of that. He said, how did they used to make the decision? They would just go to the place and look around and say, I think there will be oil here. Like this, you can have geologists, you can have everything. If he thinks there's oil there, he's drilling. And he did that until he became the richest man in the world. It doesn't mean he never made mistakes. That's not what we're saying. But he did that until he became the richest man in the world. I'm bringing us something here. That is, if a man wants great faith, let him exercise himself in that place where he already has little faith. I don't know how to do business. I don't know how to buy and sell. But I can write books. I can teach every day of the week without dying. You are getting the point I'm making. Yes, so what do? I exercise myself accordingly. And listen, my faith is increasing. For now, it has produced something that's blessing you. You are at home tonight. This broadcast is coming to you unfailing twice a week. In our ministry office, I teach unfailing twice a week. You are getting what I'm saying? That's apart from what comes on radio. I'm telling you, the great faith will take our books to the ends of the earth. It will take the messages to every corner of this world, first to every black man, then to every member of the human race. Are you getting my point? It will carry this thing by TV to every corner of the earth where this gospel needs to be heard. That's the exercise of faith. Are you getting my point? But how do we get to that level? That in which we have little faith, we exercise ourselves accordingly. That's what I'm explaining. And please, our emphasis must be the issue of, this is not for me to eat. It is for me to produce something on this earth that will turn the lives of people around. That's just what I'm trying to explain here. So what are we saying? So you find out that a man who God has given the gift of engineering as an example, a little faith, he likes to make engines. This is what Satan does for people. He will first remind him that those who make money, they buy and they sell. Do you follow my point? And so the man starts buying and he starts selling. Then the gift, now listen, this is the point. The reason why he will never excel ultimately in life is not because these principles don't work, that is, the principle of buying and selling, but it is because he can never build his faith to a level where he will be able to reach into the level of doing business in billions of dollars, as an example. When he reaches a particular level, fear will come upon him. Why? Because God did not deal to him at the beginning that measure of faith. I hope you are getting my point. But the man who God has given that ability, you will say, are you not afraid? What if you lose your money? I said, faith, according to the reference, is more intuitive. He cannot explain, but he's not afraid. What if you lose? He will tell you, look, whether I lose or not is besides the point. I just must do it. Because God has dealt to him a measure of faith. What Satan does, and I'm going to begin to talk about that, is that, you see, God, look, let me tell you something. Inherently, what the Lord did was to give everybody. Now, first of all, there's a basic level of faith we all have to handle issues of life. You get to a place, you draw a chair, you sit on it. You didn't check whether it will collapse or it won't collapse. It's just part of life. It's a basic thing. That's just the way life is. Is that okay? Now, you do that. And then next of all, God now gives each person a special area where he has faith above normal. I want to give this as an example. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, he will tell Jeremiah, I have called you to do this. Jeremiah will say, but I'm a child. He said, no, don't say I'm a child. Now I'm bringing out something here. God tells him, don't say I'm a child. Everywhere I tell you to go, go there. And you will discover strength. I said, I've made your face stronger than theirs. I've made your forehead stronger than their own. He said, they will fight against you and they will not prevail. God is giving him words that's boosting his faith up. Why? Because he called him to be a prophet. And that's just the way it works. So you find out that each person, God has given, as matter as he has given you a calling, he imparts to you the spirit to triumph in that area. But what Satan does is to deviate people's attention away from the place where they could triumph. They start doing things they don't know how to do. People start selling products they don't believe in. I tell people that no matter the amount of money you give me, I can never work for a cigarette-making company. Because as far as I am concerned, there is no good thing in what you produce. When they ask after somebody, say, now what's for a particular cigarette company? I didn't know how to explain it. And so the person I tell me that those guys pay heavily. I said, yes, they have to pay heavily to make me work against what I believe. Do you get the point I'm making? To tell you that that's what Satan does to people. Where they could have exercised faith. Now, you see, people are funny. One day you hear that, oh, schools are making money. Then schools start opening everywhere. People who never wanted to teach anybody, they open a school. Now, listen, my brethren, this is how businesses collapse. These are the things that wreck businesses in life. Because God does not deal to them any measure of faith. Because from the beginning, it wasn't their calling. And this is how I teach to people, and I want everybody to hear it. Anything that you do that your mind is never settled, you should know you're in the wrong place. Your mind is never settled. You're always afraid that something could go wrong. Now, so this is the point I'm making. That if we want great faith in life, we must locate where God already gave us that measure of faith and begin to exercise ourselves in that area. And we start looking upon it. I noticed something. God gives visions to people that contemplate things. You hear what I said? That is, if you are thinking about something, God gives you a vision in that area. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar dreamt, and he turned to, and he said that, look, I've forgotten what I dreamt. People should go and pray. You go and pray, get in the dream and come and interpret it for me. You know what he said? Daniel looked to him and says, he said, my Lord, when you were sleeping, your mind turned to what is going to happen in the future. I noticed that thing. That is, as you focused on what was going to happen, God began to show you a vision. That's what God does for people. When Moses was shepherding sheep, you know why the bush was burning? Moses was too busy. So God made the bush burn in an unusual manner so that both Moses would notice. And the Bible said that when he turned to look, God began to speak. Do you get what I'm saying? There are great revelations. There are great visions and ideas waiting for you. But you have not settled down to look, to contemplate. I said before that the thoughts of God, the word of God is recorded in the heavens. That when a man broods upon the same ideas as God has, then great power is made available. What happens is that the wisdom for creation, God God pours it into his heart. Then suddenly, now let me tell something about faith. Faith is not unreasonable. It is just that the reasonability of the faith is difficult to communicate. I don't know whether you get the point. The man who has faith does not think he's being unreasonable. But he doesn't know how to explain to you so that you will see what he's seeing. And if you can't see it, you can't understand how reasonable the thing is. That's just the way it works. No, what I've told you is a matter of fact. If you can't see it, you will not be able to understand why this man is saying what he's saying. And let me tell you something. I said something earlier that God uses every adversity and difficult circumstance in our life to build our faith. Listen, in every area that you have gifted, you've gone through problems. Good, it's time to settle down and think. What I'm talking about thinking now is you are communicating with the mind of God. God will give you thoughts and ideas that will be so strong, people won't understand why you are so sure of what you are saying. And then through your hands, great things will be birthed upon this earth. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.